Good morning.
Good morning.
It's an honor and a privilege to be back here with you again. And I thank you for inviting me back. I see some friends. I guess the rest of them got held up by the rain, huh? Joanne. But you know what? God's going to do what God's going to do. God says, I'm going to give you a little rain to help water the land and help the flowers get going. And even though they're having flower day, I've never been to that since I got into ministry. Always busy on Sunday. But I enjoy watching it and watching the joy in other people's faces, you know, as they go down there and pick their flowers. It's a lot of fun. How long does it go on? All day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Easter market. Yeah. You see, we get to see the beautiful, beautiful, I'm going to call them workings of God. If you're ever feeling small and like something's not right and you don't understand your own divine significance, which is the title of my talk today, look at a flower. Look at a flower, but just don't look at the flower. Look at the petals and see the stripes and the dots and all the other things that God does in that flower petal. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. I have a friend who enjoys exotic birds, but I enjoy seeing how God has painted their feathers and caused the different parts of their body to be so beautiful. That's divine significance to God. You know, there's a scripture that says, consider the lilies of the field, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet your God loves you more than he loves them. When I first heard that, and I might have had it exactly right, so don't call me on it, okay? Because it's not here, and that's a good thing. I was always amazed that God thought I was more important than the birds. And I thought, wow, that makes me pretty special. And then my grandmother said, we're all special. And we don't realize it. And unfortunately, we have allowed the stinking thinking of the world to tell us that we're not. So what do? We have a lot of therapists, psychologists, and a lot of ministers get to talk to people to let them know you are valuable to God. You are significant. God knows, and this is the part that blew my little pea-picking mind. I don't have very much anymore, but every hair, the top of your head and on your arm, God knows it? Isn't that a mind blower? This God thing is awesome. And I said, oh God, but what if I shave it off? And which I don't. But anyway, but God says, well, I'm a girl, guys. And God says, the root is still there. So even though we may stray away from God's love and God's presence, he's still there. Always, always, always. There was a guy named Morris, and he was laying on his deathbed. And he knew that the end was coming near, and he was with his nurse, his wife, his daughter, and two sons. So he says to them, Benny, I want you to take the Beverly Hills houses. Sylvia, take the apartments over in Los Angeles Plaza. Howard, I want you to take the offices over in City Center. Sarah, my dear wife, please take all the residential buildings downtown. Well, the nurse is just blown away about all this, and as Morris slips away, she says, Mrs. Schwartz, your husband must have been such a hardworking man to have accumulated all of this property. His wife replied, property? What property? He has a paper route. Nothing is as it seems. Oh, I love to laugh. Don't you love to laugh? Laughter's good for our souls. You know, just those endorphins that are just jumping up and down, being happy. The happiest person that I've met so far in this church is Faith. She has always got effervescent energy. Bubbling, baby, you bubble. Each and every one of us has a divine significance. And most of us, we hear it, but we don't know it. Our world is going through such crazy challenges right now that it's really important that I impress upon you how significant you are to God. You're breathing. You're walking. You're talking. That means that you're able to be God's vessel for the day. Will we make it this afternoon, this evening? Who knows? Let's get into the right here, right now, and get ourselves in divine order as best we can. Because God needs us. I can tell you a story back in my Church of the Day days. It was near Christmas time. And my son, his wife, and the baby came home for the first time from Alaska. He was in the military. And I was so excited, and I had arranged 3 weeks, you hear me? 1, 2, 3 weeks before they came home that they would go to church with me on Christmas Eve. Because the church, they used to decorate it up so magnificently beautiful. Right, Michael? It was just gorgeous. It would take your breath away. And I wanted them to have that experience. They said, oh, yeah, Mom, we're going with you. It's all set. So they were staying with me for the first part, for the first week of their stay. And then they were going to go stay with my daughter-in-law's parents and her family. And so the day of Christmas Eve, it was long about 4 o'clock, and I said, well, Ben, you know, we're going to leave at such and such a time. And he said, okay. So he went to tell his wife, and I saw a little conversation going on. And my antenna went up. What's that all about? He says, well, Mom, I forgot to tell. Now, they had been married a year and a half. Mom, I forgot to tell you that Sam's parents are expecting us. Say what? The lioness in me wanted to come out and roar. I said, I don't understand, son. I said, you know, you told me that you all were going to go with me and experience this beautiful, beautiful service, candlelight service. I said, yeah, Mom, I know, but I forgot to clear it with her. Okay. I said, son, this is what you're going to find out about marriage. You always clear it with your spouse to make sure you're both on the same page. She's planning something and you're planning something. Her parents are expecting you all, and I'm expecting you here to go to church with me. And I was doing my best to stay in my spiritual self. I'm going to tell you, too, it was a stretch. It was a stretch, but I know that everything happens for a reason. And I said, I'll tell you what, son. Why don't you all go on and go to your mother-in-law's house for dinner? Because I guess they're all waiting there. My daughter-in-law at one time had 6 or 7 sisters and brothers, and they all had children. She was the youngest. And I said, go on and go. I said, you know, I'm an adult. I'll be all right. Do I like it? Nope. Do I understand it? Not really. But can I handle it? Yes. And he apologized. Is that hitting with this one? Maybe that's what it is. And so they went on off. And so I got ready for church, and I'm thinking, bless you. Is that mic? Huh? Bouncing off the plastic? So what can I do? Okay, Chuck. He's pushing me. Okay, Lord, make this work right. Thank you. So anyway, they went on off, and I was in my snit. And I said, God bless you. God bless you. Now, instead of damning people, I have learned to bless them, even if I have to do it through clenched teeth. Bless you. Because when you say bless somebody, that's letting go and letting God, and hopefully getting back to some divine order some kind of way. Even though our human mind can't understand it, I just said, bless you. So I went to church in my snit. And at our church before service, all the ushers, they get on a circle. And they pray together, and they set the consciousness. and they talk about the blessings that they've received for the week, that they want to share the joy. And so, and then when they do that, after we do that, then they would say, anybody need prayer? And I said, yeah, me. I said, because I'm not in the best space. And I said, but I choose to rise above my upset so that I can serve God myself in this congregation that's coming for a special service for Christmas with their families. And so they affirmed me. And so we went on out, and they gave me my assignment. I went to my door. And, you know, the church has 16 doors, I think it is, on two floors. So I'm on my door three. Joanne knows what I'm talking about. I was there, and this little old gentleman came. He came to, and I looked at him. He was by himself. And I wished him a Merry Christmas, and I said, welcome, and the things that, you know, that greeters say. And I gave him the program, and he went and sat down. And the service that night, was, to me, I guess because I needed to hear it, it was extraordinarily touching and beautiful. And so this little guy, after the service, you know, we tell people goodbye and have a good day, a good evening or whatever. And he came up to me, and his hair was snow white, and his face was very challenged, like he had a lot of challenges in his life, lots and lots of lines and wrinkles in his face. And he said, can I have a hug? He got me. I thought, here he is sitting in this most sacred service by himself. Spirit spoke to me right away, and he said, Carol, get over yourself. You do have all this family that you're going to be with tomorrow. This guy may be opening a can of soup and having Christmas alone. And that got me out of my snit. That reminded me that I do have divine significance with God. God has need of me in this world, even if it's just to give this old gentleman a hug and let him know he is loved. We are all loved. And the tears rolled down his cheeks. And we're not supposed to entertain somebody at the door too long because you got a long line of people coming behind him. I didn't care. I enveloped him in my arms, and I just breathed as much love into him as I could. And when he left me, he had a little twinkle in his eye. And he says, you have no idea how much that meant to me. And I thought to myself, I said, and you had your nerve to get in a snit because the children can't be here with you. Get over yourself, Carol. And that's what we do sometimes. We put ourselves so far out there in our own stuff, in our own stinking thinking, that we forget to extend our love. I remember I learned years ago that if there's something that we desire and it's something that we feel we need, my minister friend in Florida, she says, there's nothing that you need. She said, take that word. When you speak from my pulpit, don't use that word. There's nothing you need because God, and Chuck is shaking his head, because God has provided everything possible. We just have to remember to open our hearts to receive it and use it. I tell you, that was a big, big lesson for me. And I have shared that story. I haven't shared it in a long time. I'm the one sharing this morning because it wasn't on my paper. But maybe somebody here needs to see and know and understand that even though you're in your stuff and you're feeling sorry for yourself and nobody's hanging out with you and you spent the last few weeks alone, nobody was around, it's okay. You are significant to God. You put yourself in that rut. We are the thinkers who think the thought that makes the thing. And that's true. You want better, do better. But if you want to feel better, you just ask God to help you do that. And he will put somebody on your path that feels more snarly or more upset or more lost or more alone than you ever did. You help somebody, and then you in turn receive the help. And I like how that works. But when we remember that that's how that works, it works better for us. We all have divine significance. We are all significant people. I had a girl tell me, well, she says, oh, nobody pays any attention to me because, you know, I'm not as pretty as the other girls, and I'm not as tall, and I'm not as slender and all. And I said, oh, shut the heaven up. And she said, why, aren't you a minister? I said, yep, I'm a different kind, okay? I call them like I see them when I can. And I may use some rough language if that's what's, I don't go too rough. If that's what's going to get your attention, to wake you up, is one of those thanks I need at that moment, because we all need them. We all need them. And we think, oh, poor me. Oh, get over it. I had to tell that to myself the other day. You see, I'm in church. I'm telling the truth. I was having a moment about an issue in my life. And I had to go. I stopped what I was doing. I was busy. I'm writing books. I had to stop and go sit down and meditate. And I said, you know, God, I'm feeling a little snarly. And I don't choose this. Help me understand why I'm feeling this and what is it in this for me to learn. If we could all just remember to do that and remember how significant we are to God, we're breathing, we're living because God has used us. God is going to send you to somebody today to give a hug, and that hug is going to be like a lifeline to them. God is going to have you smile into somebody's soul, and that's going to just warm them up. Another lady, from tell you another church story. This lady's name, I won't say it. I'll say her name was Alice, not her name. We were at the women's retreat. I don't know if I told this story before or not, so bear with me if I did. And we were in the line to get lunch, and she was two or three people ahead of me. She said, Carol Mullins. I said, yeah. She said, I need to talk to you. And I said, do you want to come back here, or do you want me to come up there? She says, no, I can tell you from here, because we were all sacred sisters, you know? Didn't matter. She said, you remember when we first opened the new sanctuary and they had all you ushers on certain doors for extended periods of time? I said, yeah. And I was on door 3. And Jack Boland put us on those doors like that. He said, so people can have familiarity. Because they weren't familiar with the new sanctuary. And he wanted them to feel, this is your home. Be comfortable. And every Wednesday night, that young lady came. And she was in business clothes. And I would say hi to her. And sometimes I would hug her if I had a moment to do it. Because you're not supposed to dwell too long on hugs. Because some of us get caught up in it. Anyway, she came every week. And I would hug her, and she would smile, and she would go on, and then she would leave, and I'd give her another hug on the way out, and I said, have a blessed week. Have a great time this week. So this particular day, we're standing in the lunch line at the retreat, and she says, do you remember when I first started coming to the church? I said, yeah, I kind of, sort of. I remember you coming through my door all the time, and I explained to her why we were always on the same door. And she says, what you don't know is that I was going through a horrible divorce. And my husband was so terrible. I wanted to kill myself. I didn't feel worthy of living. She said, I felt that I had failed badly. And she said, and one day I was at work and I was debating whether I was going to go to Wednesday night service or not. And she said, and I heard really loud in my spirit, go to church. Go to church. That lady's going to hug you. And she's going to give you her smile. It's going to smile down in your spirit. And you're going to feel good. And she came. And she said, that was you. She said, because I was contemplating going home and taking a whole bunch of pills and just ending my life right then and there. And she said, sure enough, I came. When I came through your door, she says, I was the only one. It was a lag there. And she said, and you just enveloped me in the most loving hug. And she said, I went through so many internal emotions, and I knew that I had value, and I knew that God loved me, and I knew that I could keep going. She said, you became my medication. I didn't need to take those tranquilizer pills anymore. I just need to come to church on Wednesday. Started to come to church on Sunday because you were on the same door. I said, that's right. I said, we were put there for a reason. You see, I had divine significance in her life, and I barely knew her. I just knew she was an attractive young businesswoman because she wore a business suit every day, every time she came to church. And she said, I was going to go home and end it all. So see, you never know when you have the opportunity to shine God's light through. God's light will shine through you into somebody else's mind and heart. And they will feel, see, hear, and know what it food, it's spiritual food, what it is they need to make it another day. So that's why when you see me, I'm always smiling. They told me I did that when I was a little kid. I don't know, but maybe I did. But now that I'm an adult and now that I'm in my spiritual life, I understand the greater significance of that. You just never know when somebody needs a hug. That's why when I meet people the first time, sometimes they want to extend their hand, and I always say, I'm a hugger. Can I hug you? And I would say 99% of the time, they do. And the few times that they don't, when they come back the next time, they'll say, can I have a hug? You know, I said, because it's love. All you have to do is just be the vessel that God will work through. And that gives you significance in that person's life. They think it's you. And I am real quick to tell people, it's the power of the Christ that lives in me. It's the God in me reaching out to you. I am here for you and you are here for me. There's only one of us here. How is it we see it in unity? The one power, the one presence active in the universe and in our lives. God, the good, omnipotent. I am you and you are me. And you know, a lot of people have a challenge with accepting the fact that they are God. But Jesus, our master teacher, said, know that ye are gods. The things that I do, you can do this and even more. You know that scares the pants off of some people? To think that they can do what Jesus did and more? Who made you so special? You know, that's a gift that's given to all of us. And I don't care if other people try to make you think that you're a level above or not. You're not. We are God's, I call them, we are God's beloved children, God's godlings. And we all have a divine purpose and a reason. I am so grateful that now, and I share this with you, that now at this point in my life, I know that everything happens for a divine reason and a purpose. And my prayer every day is, Father, let me see what is mine to do. Let me do this through joy and not through pain or any further difficulty if it's something for myself. Because we can get hung up. Oh, that's too hard. That's too tough. You know, you can say, okay, God, let me have it. And I learned this many, many years ago, that when I pray for something for myself or someone else, I ask for this or something better for the good of all concerned. That's from the mastermind. And I always ask up front, let me learn this through joy. Let me learn whatever lessons I am to learn through joy and not through pain or difficulty. Or if I'm in the middle of a challenge, I say, not through any further pain or difficulty. I know you have me here for a divine purpose and a reason. Even though sometimes I get so caught up in my own stuff that I forget, I'm here for God. Once I was yelling at my husband about something, and he says, who do you think you are? I said, I'm God's divine beloved child. I'm whole, perfect, and complete. If you don't like it, there's a door. He had never heard me speak to him in that way, but he had attacked me. You want to get my back up? Attack me and my God self. Because the lioness in me, I was born in August, the lioness in me will come on, but I don't like that. But God is always there in every moment, let's say every nanosecond, to remind us that we mean great things to God. God has great need of us, and there's no reason to kind of go around feeling less than. Because we are more than. I wonder if prior to our birth, we were like a bunch of school children in the yard, and we're waving our hands, and the teacher comes out, she's gonna pick somebody to do some things, and we say, pick me, pick me, pick me. And then we go do the job, and we say, ooh, that was a rough job. And the next time the teacher comes, not as many say, pick me, pick me. And then she fools us. There's a treat that's waiting there for the ones that said, pick me, pick me. You see, we never know what God's plan is for our life, but this we know for sure. God has a plan for our lives, and that's all we need to know. We just need to follow. And we know that his love and his grace and his mercy is there for us. I look around at what's happening in the world these days, and I wonder how many people don't know God the way that we in unity know God. And even those of us who are in unity, all of us sometimes, not all of us, but a lot of us don't really connect with God. But there's a call upon our lives now to connect deeper, to put that extra effort to connect deeper. Doesn't mean that we have a lot of heavy-duty work to do. It means we have work to do. You know, I travel around to a lot of Unity churches. I haven't been out of state this year yet, but I'm going to some churches. And I'm noticing the congregations are in the midst of transition and transformation. And then you go to some of them, and they want everything the same way that it's been for all the years that they've been in, you know, in business. And well, if we only get this, and we get more of that. And I stop and think, and I said to a particular minister, have you ever sat with your congregation and say, what is it you want us to do, God? God is constantly ideating through us. Great ideas. But when you're trying to hang on to the old, not acknowledge the significance that God has you in this divine moment right here, right now, you're going to miss the boat. You're going to miss your boat. The smart thing is to do is to get into mastermind groups and just sit and say, God, what would you have us do to grow our community? What would you have us say? And what would you have us be? It's that simple. I looked at some of the churches around the country that had huge, huge congregations. One down south that I used to, I wasn't working in that church. I was working in the community. I was in the corporate world. And on Wednesdays, I would fly down on Monday, come home on Friday. And I would like to, I like to go to the Wednesday services for some, you know, midweek of spiritual food, some upliftment. And that was a place where if you didn't get there an hour and a half before, you couldn't get a parking space, let alone get inside the sanctuary. And on Sunday, you better go to a good hour and a half or 2 hours. I would stay down in Atlanta every so often on a weekend. But because I was on the board of directors of Church of the Day, I had to get home most of the time. And I was down there not that long ago, and I saw where are the people? Where's everybody? Everything is shifting and changing. And God wants us to come up higher, to a higher consciousness, trust in his divine presence more, and that's divine significance that he's put into us. God wants us to trust all that a lot more than we have. You know, I am learning to do this with and for myself. And I encourage you to do it with and for yourselves. God desires for us to do great things. And that great thing may mean just when you go grocery shopping, just smile at people and say hello. I love to do that because some people, they look at me kind of. And I said, hello. And they say, oh, okay. And I get people that stare at me. I wear hats when I'm not in church. And I love to wear my baseball caps with all the sparkles on it. I got them in every color. And when I go to the store, throw your hair up under the hat and go about your business. And I was in a Walmart yesterday. I had to run over there and get some ink. I could print this out, print out this chalk that I'm not using. Anyway, I saw this gruff-looking character. He was looking at me like he was angry. And I said, okay, here, God, you're going to put me somebody here. Okay. And so I smiled and I said, hello. He said, that's a good-looking hat you're wearing. You see, I was thinking one thing, he was thinking something else. And I got fed about 5 times yesterday, and I thought, I've been wearing this little hat a lot, but I've never got that much attention in one time. And that's fine. I was in another store a couple weeks ago, and the guy in the meat market, I love to go to the Amish market, and this guy walked up to me, and he said, oh, I've seen you at Myers. I think I've seen you over in Walmart, too. You're always wearing those hats, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, you know, I never got close enough to you to tell you that I like your hats. I said, me too. And I said, you can always find me in a crowd, right? And he says, oh, yeah, those hats sparkle. He said, you should see the way the light dances off them. I said, you know, I can't, it's on my head, so I can't see that. But I say that, share that with you to tell you, never know. You never know when something you say, something you do, even something as simple as wearing a sparkling hat means something to somebody. For them, he says, oh, I like seeing you in your hats. It always makes me smile. And I didn't preach. I just said, thank you. Thank you. If I could bring a smile to your face, that tells me, I didn't say this to him, but I was saying to myself, it tells me I'm doing my work. My work is being done. Thank you, God. Something as simple as that showed the significance that I had to God that day, because God doesn't have us walking, breathing, and talking just to exist. We can no longer exist. We have to say, God, what would you have me do? Part of my morning prayer is, after I give gratitude for the day, what would you have me do? What would you have me say to whom and where? Order my steps. You know the song, Order My Steps? Oh, my goodness. That's my song. That's one of my mantra songs, because I want God to order my steps in all that I do and all that I say, so that I am living a life of greater and greater significance, so that I am contributing. And then I'll say, is there anything else you need for me to do? Because, you know, God may sometimes just want you to smile at somebody. It doesn't mean that you got to go in your pocket deep and get money out, you know, and do other things, because there's always going to be people who would always trying to suck you in and take unfair advantage of you. But don't worry about that. Just know that you got the bubble of divine protection around you if that's what you desire. God has something for us to do. And he taps into that divine significance within each and every one of us. You see, God knows if we're going to do it or not. The question is always out there. And sometimes we want to put it off. And grow through the pain and the difficulty in other ways. The road to transformation to be our highest, greatest, and grandest selves is easy. Who told us that everything's got to be hard? It doesn't have to be. When we trust in the power that made us and that believes in us. If you try to go off on your own stuff, do your own stinking thinking, only thing I can ever say to you, how's it working for you? Is it bringing you blessings? Is it bringing you the things that your heart desires? That desire, I think I've shared with you before, desire metaphysically means of the Father. So if it's something that you desire to do that you don't feel up to the job, that's God saying, I'd like you to do this. He dropped that idea in your spirit. Of the Father. You can't go wrong, but you have to step out on faith and recognize that you are very significant to God, and get in divine order. When you step out on divine significance, you will be in divine order. I didn't bring it up here with me, but there's a line in There's a line. Where'd he go? Here it is. There's a line here today that jumped out at me real strong from today's daily word. And it says, there is one power that I am a part of it. I am an essential part of a purpose more vast than my mind can imagine. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. One power. I am part of it. I am an essential part of a purpose more vast than my mind can imagine. I know that my day unfolds as an expression of that purpose. See, all we have to do is just get in divine alignment And God sets it all up for us. What's going to happen the rest of this day? Who knows? I know that I, like you, am a divine child of God. I am happy. I am healthy. I am whole. I'm complete. Whether or not I'm not happy, whether or not my body doesn't feel healthy at the moment, I have to affirm what I choose to see. From the book of Corinthians, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. And I pulled this one from the book of Joshua. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I remember back when I was Presbyterian church, they sang this song, do not be dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Trust and obey, and he will abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or on the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. You believe it? I think you do. You believe it?
Yes.
Trust it. Trust it. Trust it. It's better than buying a lottery ticket. You have a guaranteed result. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I behold the Christ in each and every one of you, because we are one. We are part of that one power, that one presence active in the universe and in our lives, God, the good omnipotent. It is up to us. We lunatics. We folks who are awake to know that we have something to do. And we can do it through joy and not through pain. And we can enjoy the blessings of God if we just open and let it happen. I bless you, and I thank you for allowing me to stand before you once again. Thank you. Thank you.